I'm in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. Book of Philippians. I'll give what I can do, what I can give here, and time that's remaining. Amen. I'm time conscious of the time. I'll get you out of here on time. Amen. Philippians, I hope you don't mind me sitting down, but it took me a while to get used to preaching sitting down. But I've been doing it now for several years. So. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Brother Michael and I are totally different styles of preaching. Amen. And so I asked him if he warned you guys, and he said, just go. So here we go. Philippians chapter number 1. Amen. And my dad was a pastor, so I was a PK growing up in Rockford, Illinois, where I was raised. They were from Arkansas. My dad was from Arkansas. My mom was from Kentucky. They were Southern folks, and I was cursed they had me in Illinois. Amen. And but anyway, I was raised in Illinois, but they took me down south. I was raised all the time, and they took me down south to camp meetings all the time, and I was raised Southern style services and preaching, and so I grew up around that kind of preaching all the time, and my dad was that type of preacher, and so, you know, if you don't like this style of preaching, you can blame it on my dad and mom. Amen. Right? You know, your parents get all the blame for everything else. Thank you, Philip. I appreciate that. So Philippians chapter number 1, let's get right into it, verse number 20. For I have no, I'm in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20. According to my earnest expectation, I love those two words, earnest expectation, and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And I love this verse. I've been adopting different verses in my life. And this is one of that I've been liking here lately. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. Here it is, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. We can all say amen to that. We'd all rather be with Christ than be down here, and that's far better. But Paul said this, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Not for him, but for you. Then he says this, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Father, would you help us this morning, Lord, as we look into this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the good word of God. Thank you for the good church, God, that we've been able to fellowship with and get to know this morning. What a blessing. I pray, God, will be a blessing to them this morning. God, we want to be a help and an encouragement and a strength in them. Teach them from the word of God this morning. God, I sure need your touch this morning. Help me now, for it's in thy name we pray. Amen. Paul was in a dilemma here in our text of Scripture about life or death. So in our text here, because his desire was to go be with Christ. The phrase here, earnest expectation, is an intense anticipation. It's in the sense of watching. It is found only one other time in Scripture. And that's in Romans 8, verse 19. And that says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What a wonderful thing it would be to be there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. It would be a wonderful thing for us to be there with the Lord. I don't know if there's a day goes by in my life that I don't have a desire to be with the Lord. I look for heaven. I listen to songs every day about heaven. My list of songs that I listen to as I read the script, I read the Word of God every day, and I try to listen to songs. And a lot of my songs I listen to is about heaven. What a day that will be when we see Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, I long to be in heaven. I have a desire like the Apostle Paul. It would be a wonderful thing. But Paul said he's in a strait. He has a dilemma. I want to be there, but I also have this need to abide here. Paul gives two reasons why it's more needful for him to abide or remain alive here for them. Number one, in verse number 12, he says this, because of the furtherance of the gospel. Look at it. He says in verse number 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul says, though I would rather go to be with the Lord Jesus, it's more needful for me to stay here for you because of the furtherance of the gospel. Those two words, fallen out. That means they have occurred unto me. Have occurred. Paul is saying all these things that have occurred to me is for the spreading of the gospel, the furtherance of the gospel. He says, I need to stay here because the gospel needs to be spread. Yes, it'd be a wonderful thing to go to heaven, but if I'm in heaven, I can't spread the gospel any longer. And my friends, if we look around in our society today, in our world today, there is a need for the gospel to be furthered, amen, to be spread. And you and I, as God's people, had that responsibility. And Paul said, though I would much rather be with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's more needful for me to abide here. And these things have fallen out to me. These things have occurred to me because of the furtherance, the spreading of the gospel. Look at verse 25. Verse 25 says this, and having this confidence, again, he's confident. He's not bashful. He's not shy. Maybe I should go or maybe I shouldn't go. Even though he's in a strait, he's in a dilemma, he still has confidence that the will of God is for him to abide here. Because there's a furtherance of the gospel that needs spread. And then he says, in having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with who? You. And continue with you all for the furtherance and joy of faith. He says, not only for the furtherance of the gospel, but I need to stay here for you all. Yes, the gospel needs spread, and I need to remain here, though I'd rather be with the Lord. Amen. My desire is to be with him, and every Christian ought to have a desire to be with the Lord. Oh, man, there's not a day we ought not long and live and look for the Lord Jesus Christ. My mama, every day of my life when I was a child, used to take me out before we'd go to school. We'd go out on the back steps there in Rockford, and she would tell me how I'd be Philip's age. I'd be the twins. It didn't matter how old I was. It was every day. And to this day, I do it when I walk out of the house. We'd walk out the door and she'd say, Joel, look up. And I look up and she'd say, Joel, Jesus could come today. And your job is to be ready. You need to be saved by God's grace. And one day you're going to realize that you're a sinner and you're going to have to be saved by the grace of God. And she said, Jesus is going to come in the air. He's going to come in those clouds one day. And we'd sing this little song. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. And then we go to the car. The next day we walk out to go to school. Guess what? The very same thing. Every day of my life we'd walk out and she would do that every day. And guess what? There came a day in my life when I was 11 years old that I realized that I needed to be saved and asked Jesus Christ into my heart and I got saved. Thank God. And thank God I've been preaching the word of God. God called me to preach when I was 15 years old and I began to preach and God, devil, let me preach a little bit here and there and he would teach me the word of God. And I'm glad all these years later when I walk out of the house, guess what I do as an adult? I look up and I hum to myself. Why? Because I had a mama that put inside of me every day of my life, Jesus may come. And he said, I got to remain, though I have a desire to go be of Jesus, I got to remain for you all. Why? Because I got to continue with you all. Paul had to help them grow in their faith, which meant to their contending and in their commission of the gospel to have joy of faith. I love how he put that. Joy of faith. We ought to have some joy in our faith. Amen. We ought not just endure our faith and get through it. No, we ought to have some joy. There ought to be some joy in the house this morning. Amen. There ought to be some smiles. Amen. In the house of God today. I'm glad we can enjoy our faith this morning. And Paul said, I got to remain with you for that reason. There is a need for us to continue. Too many are walking away today. Oh, there's too many of God's people. I watch as a pastor as people leave, and my heart hurts for them. And I believe that's where Paul is at in our text. He said, though I want to go, though I want to leave and be with Jesus, I can't do that. Because the gospel's got to be spread. The furtherance of the gospel's got to go. And if I'm there, I can't spread the gospel. I got to remain for you all. There's too many walking away. Oh, there's a need today to continue, which is why Paul said, as much as it would, I would like to go see Jesus, I must remain for you so that you will continue. Not only continue, but contend. Contend for the faith. Paul talks about that in another passage of scripture. Contend means to defend or preserve. Jude chapter number 3, verse number 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Listen, you're going to find this word again. It was needful for me. It was needful for me. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. That word earnestly again. Earnestly contend. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Once again, you find that word needful. You know, it's needful for us today. It's needful for us today. It's needful for us today to continue. It's needful for us today to contend. We should grow in the faith in our continuing and contending. But also in our commission to go. In the commission to go and further the gospel. Paul says, it's needful for me to stay here for you all because you need to continue and you need to contend and in your commission to go and further the gospel. Paul says, I must abide here with you to help your faith and to help you grow as a child of God. That is more needful for me than to go be with the Lord. Paul then says, Christ shall be magnified in my body in verse number 20. He says, Christ shall be magnified in my body. When you magnify something, when you put a magnifying glass on something, what happens? It becomes larger or bigger. Sometimes these bifocals, I got these bifocals, and I have to take them off to read because they're useless. And I went, man, next pair of glasses I get, I'm going to tell them to take the bifocals away. And they're supposed to make it larger and bigger, but it doesn't. But you put a magnifying glass upon this, and man, those words become bigger, and they become bolder, and they become larger. And Paul says, how Christ may be magnified in my body. When you magnify something, it becomes larger or bigger. Oh, Paul says, he is wanting to show in his life, to all those around him, how big God is. Amen. God is bigger than any problems and pressures or persecutions that come our way. Paul was persecuted so many times, and what he is saying is that my body shows the marks of Christ, and in my body, I want to magnify Christ. Though I have all the stripes to bear, and though I have all the bruises, my body, I want to put a magnifying, and that Christ magnifies my body. Oh, how about we make him bigger in our lives today so others can see Christ clearly today? When Christ is magnified, that means people can see him more clearly and understand better his way and his work and his will. They're making everything bigger today. The world makes everything bigger and better. But I say it's time we as God's people, we as Christians, and we as the church magnify Christ. We need to make him bigger and better. Hey, if the world can make sin bigger and it better, hey, why can't we make the Savior bigger and better by magnifying him today? How about we make him bigger and better? Then Christ will be better loved and better obeyed and better served. If we're going to have some young people, I love seeing all the kids in the church today. It's one thing we don't have in our church. And I've been praying that, well, God will send to our church some children. I'm glad to see all these children today. God bless you. But you know what these kids need to see? A Christ that's magnified. Oh, they need to see how big God is. Amen. I love serving Him. They ought to see how big He is. And then they'll want to better love Him and better obey Him and better serve Him. Paul says, it is better that I abide with you and make and magnify Christ in my body for your joy of faith. For your joy of faith. Don't worry, this is how I usually am. I sweat a lot. Amen. We should have a desire, a determination. Fat guys sweat. Amen. Praise God. We should have a desire, a determination to live for God just as Paul did. Sometimes we look at those guys and we say, well, they're Bible guys. Paul and John and Peter and all James and John. You know, of course, they were Bible. No, we ought to be just like, they're humans just like we are. And they love God. Why can't we love God? They serve God. Why can't we serve God? We can. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, in verse number 21. He magnified Christ. He wanted to live for God. So I want to preach on this thought, living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. That's what Paul is telling us in this chapter, in this text of Scripture. We need to live for Jesus. So I want to preach on it. There are a few things that when we live for Jesus that I see here in our text Number one, living for Jesus is real. Yes. Living for Jesus is real. Amen. I said living for Jesus is real. Look in our text here. It's living for Jesus is real. For me to live is Christ. That's real, folks. Paul said, you know what? I want to go be at the Lord. That's absolutely what I want to do. I want to go be at the Lord. That's my desire. If I had my way, I'd be with the Lord right now. That's much better for me to go be. I'm tired of all the shipwrecks. I'm tired of all the beatings. I'm tired of all the persecution. I'm tired of all the imprisonments. I'm tired of all of this life. I'm tired of it all. But living for Jesus is real for me to live. If I'm going to stay here, which I'm going to do, it's much better that I abide with you all. But for me, if I'm going to live here, I'm going to live for Christ. I'll take more beatings. I'll take more imprisonments. I'll take more shipwrecks. I'll take more whatever they throw at my way. Because if I'm going to live here, for me to live is Christ. What a good motto to have. I'm not going to live for self. I'm not going to live for popularity. I'm not going to live for God. I'm not going to live for anything else. I'm going to live for Christ. Living for Jesus is real. 1 John 5:12 says this. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I'm glad I have a life that's worth living today. And I have the Son of God. That's a life that is real. Boy, thank God. After you got saved, you were given the Son of God and you have life. Amen. And that life is real. The Bible says we were dead. We were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, but when Jesus Christ came our way, praise God, listen to this preacher, and God saved your old wretched soul. Amen. You went from death unto life. You passed from death. There was a resurrection that took place in your life. And now you have a life that's real. Jesus lives inside of you and He's real. He's not dead. No, He resurrected from the grave. And because you have life, you have the Son of God, you have a life that's real, thank God. And Paul is showing them that here in our text, that living for Jesus is real. For me to live is Christ. Paul is saying, if I'm going to live here, then I'm going to labor and love Christ and live for Jesus. I'm going to labor for Him, I'm going to love Him, and I'm going to live for Him. Who are you living for today? Who am I living for today? Who am I loving today? Who am I laboring for today? Who are you laboring for today? Who are you loving today? the religious crowd that followed Jesus everywhere they went and tried to find every fault they could with him and tried to catch him in every lie. But thank God, God's not a liar and God's not a sinner. Hey, that religious crowd had no life. They had law, but they had no life. They had judging, but they had no joy. Hey, you go around judging everybody and looking for every fault you can find, you're not happy. That religious crowd wasn't. Living for Jesus is real. Amen. Secondly, this one's going to blow everybody away. Living for Jesus is rough. My mouth is dry. I'm so nervous up here. Somebody could smile. There could be joy in the house. Amen. I would tell you a joke, but I'm no good at jokes. So, living for Jesus is rough. What? You want me to live a life, preacher, and you just say it's rough? Life in general is rough. Come on, amen. Living for Jesus is no different. Preacher, you want me to live for Jesus and it's rough? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the best life to live. I love it. Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul knew what he was talking about. I'll come back to the text, but let me go over here to Acts 16. Acts 16, 24 and 25. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. Now listen. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Paul and Silas were over there preaching, doing what I'm doing right now. Thank God for the freedom we have. Amen. No fear of them busting in the doors. Not yet, anyway. May happen in a couple years. But I'm preaching, and that's what Paul and Silas were, and they were thrown into prison. Their feet were fast in stocks, and their hands were fast in stocks and bonds. Persecuted. It's rough. Paul said, living for Jesus is rough. I'm in prison for preaching the gospel. Living for Jesus, it's rough. Can I tell you today? It's rough. The Bible says, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's rough. Living for Jesus is rough. He's in prison. He's in stocks and bonds. Now that's rough. Amen. Wouldn't you say that's rough? Being in prison? And prison then is not like prison today. Amen. They're in a dungeon. Amen. They don't have all the things that they have today. They don't have weight rooms and TV rooms and all the sauna rooms and all that stuff that they have today. Amen. No, you're in stocks and bonds and you're left there, man. You get some bread and water. It's rough. Living for Jesus is rough, Paul said. But I love this. What do they do? When it was rough, they sing and praise God in the rough times. What kind of Christianity is that? You're going to sing and praise God in the rough times? No, we're supposed to mumble and grumble and blame God and, you know, throw in the towel and say, well, preacher, I'll be back when things get better. How many times I've heard that as a preacher? Well, preacher, it's kind of rough times right now. And, you know, when things get better, I'll see you. No, the best time to go to God is when things are rough. Best time to be in church, and the best time to read your Bible, and the best time to pray, and the best time to get close to God is when times are rough. Hey, can I tell you a secret? Let me tell you a verse. Draw nigh to God. You know what the next step is? He'll draw nigh to you. It's not got to draw nigh to you, and then you draw nigh to him. No, the Bible says draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Again, you make the first step. All right? Times are rough. What did Paul say? They prayed and sang praises to God. It may be rough, but let me tell you this. It's doable. When times are rough, it's doable. You can do. You can serve God. Amen. Just because times are rough doesn't mean you can do it. Times are rough, I can't serve God. Oh, yes, you can. Amen. It's rough, but you can serve God. He prayed during his suffering. Last week, I was so sick. It hit me. I had a bacterial infection. I went to the doctor. I was so sick. I had two blankets on and a heating blanket, and it was 95 degrees outside in Illinois. And I had two blankets on, Brother Michael, and a heating blanket. It's what I usually sleep with in the winter. And I'm still cold, Miss Tammy. I'm still freezing. I was so sick. I'm like, well, my trip, I'm probably not going to be able to go next week. And I'm grumbling. Paul and Silas is praising, singing praises, you know. I'm grumbling. I'm in the prison of sickness, suffering. Now I'm sitting in my chair and I'm, why am I the one sick? You know how we are. And I'm just like, oh, and I got all these blankets on. And I'm in my chair that I sleep in. And I'm like, finally it dawned on me, Paul, this message, prayed at midnight. And here I am, and I'm like, and I'm sweating. I'm pouring sweat because I got all these blankets on and the heating blankets on, and yet I'm freezing. Finally, I just started praying. I just started praying, Lord, I thank you for how good you are to me. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I just started a list of thank yous. Thankful that I have a church to go to. Thankful I got people that love me. Thankful I got a wife that takes care of me. I'm thankful that my children. I'm thankful for my church family. And I begin to go through the list of thank yous. Listen to me. Oh, I begin to go through it. I said, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm still able to pray. I'm so thankful that I got a Savior. Well, I begin to pray. Then I begin to pray for the people of the church like I do every day. And I just begin to have my prayer time. Man, all of a sudden, it began to help me feel better. He prayed during his suffering. He praised God during his sorrows. You see it there? And then he prevailed over his stronghold. The stocks and bonds loosed. God sent an earthquake and loosed them. The Bible says the prisoners heard him. He didn't pray. And Paul and Silas didn't pray and sing like this. No. The Bible says the prisoners heard them. They prayed, Father, I thank you that I'm in the stocks and bonds. Oh, you counted me worthy to suffer for your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, the prisoners heard them. That's why I believe when the doors were open, none of them left. And the prisoner got, and the jailer got saved. Oh, it's rough serving God, but it's doable. We ought to pray and praise so we can prevail over the stronghold. And then we come back to our text in verse 20. Here is where Paul says he magnified Christ in his body. He put that magnifying glass, and God got bigger. God got bigger in that situation. In our sufferings, we ought to thank God. In our sorrows, in our strongholds, we ought to put the magnifying glass so we show that God is bigger than our problems, than our sorrows, than our sufferings. Magnify Christ. And then number three, living for Jesus. Here we go. I love this one. Living for Jesus is rewarding. Living for Jesus is rewarding. It's real. It's rough. Oh, and it's rewarding. It's rewarding. Look at verse 21, the last part of it. He says, for me to live is Christ. Oh, but listen, and to die, and to die is gain. And to die is gain. We're going to gain heaven. Amen. What a gain. That's something to gain. That's a reward. Amen. Thank God. Hey, it may be rough down here. It may be rough for a while. There may be some sorrows, and there may be some sicknesses, and there may be some troubles, and there may be some trials. But thank God, I'm going to gain heaven. Amen. For all eternity. What a rewarding life. It may be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. It may be rough right now, but praise God, we have a lot of gain waiting for us. Living for Jesus is rewarding. Thank God. We have a peace right now. That's rewarding. Wouldn't you say peace is rewarding? What's the world looking for right now? Peace. They're killing themselves in sin trying to find peace. I mean, they're drinking it up and they're drugging it up and they're doing all these things and trying to find peace that they're not going to find. Oh, but they'll just come to an old-fashioned church house and hear the preacher preach and go to the Word of God and find Jesus. They'll find some peace. Amen. I found peace when I found Jesus. Peace is rewarding. Well, I'm glad I can lay my head on my pillow tonight and know that I have peace. Amen. I can sing peace, peace, wonderful peace. Why? Because peace is rewarding. Right now, I live in peace. Jesus is peace. You'll have peace. And that is rewarding. Jesus says, my peace I give you, my peace I leave unto you. Peace. How about joy? He talks about joy here. Joy of your faith. We have joy living for Jesus. We have peace living for Jesus. And we can have joy living for Jesus. That's rewarding. Joy. Oh, joy. You, Paul says, that is needful for me to remain with you so that you can have joy of faith. Living for Jesus is rewarding. It's real. It's rough. And rewarding. Thank God. For the presence of God, the peace of God, and the power of God you have in your life, it's a rewarding life. Paul says, "All my desire is to go be with the Lord. But you know what? It's more needful for me to stay so that you can, so I can help you grow in your Christian life." That was at the church of Philippi. He says, I need to help you grow, that you can have joy of faith, so that you can live for Jesus. Can I ask you today, in closing, my time is gone. I'll not give the rest of this. But can I ask you today, in closing, the conclusion is this. I'm so glad I'm living for Jesus. How about you? Are you living for God this morning? If not, you can, right? You can start right now. You can start right now. You can start right now. Paul says, oh, I want to go be at the Lord, but it's more needful for me. I love the word in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh. He was in a strait. He was in a dilemma. He wanted to go. But he says, I'm going to abide with you. Are you saved this morning? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? If not, you can right now. Just come and we will show you from the Word of God how to be saved. You can do that right now. Living for Jesus is real. Living for Jesus is rough. And living for Jesus is rewarding. I want to live for Jesus. How about you? You ought to have a desire this morning to live for Jesus. And Paul says, it's needful for me to abide with you, to dwell with you. Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. We need to abide with the Lord. Living, there's no other life to live. If you're saved by the grace of God, there's no other life to live but for Jesus Christ. I'm glad it's a real life to live. It's not a fairy tale life. It's not a life just for the preacher to live and the preacher's wife or anybody else. It's for all of us that are saved by the grace of God. It's a real life. And we have a life that we must continue. We must contend. And we must do the commission to go and spread the gospel. And that's why Paul wanted to remain with them. So that they will continue and contend and keep the commission to go and further the gospel. And folks, I say to you today, there's a need to do that. We must continue. There's folks that are walking away every day. And I don't want it to be you. And I don't want it to be me. We need to continue. And we need to contend. Amen. And we must go and tell, spread the gospel. Further the gospel so others can hear the gospel. It's rough. It's rough serving the Lord. I watch all these people suffer, and men of God and servants of God, and and say, man, why do God, good people, God's people suffer so much? Because it's rough serving God. But it's a joy. It's a joy to serve God. It's doable. God gives you his joy and his peace through it all. But it's also rewarding. And I'm glad I got rewards in serving Jesus. Father, take the word of God. We ask you, dear God, to bless it today. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful folks, this wonderful church. Thank you, Lord, for letting us preach today. Thank you for your liberty. Thank you for your touch. And we ask you, dear God, pray the message was a blessing and a help today. God, thank you for letting me be here today to worship with this great church today. We love you, Lord. Bless the word of God now, for it's in thy name we pray. Amen.